You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's Friday. We get to share a Set Apart to Serve series conversation today. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. This one includes multiple generations.
Yes,
so
it does.
Looking forward to chatting about that. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for your support of The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Al Bartoleben, his retired LCMS teacher, also happens to be a certified DCE as well. Al, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
I understand that you have a story that goes back multiple generations when it comes to church workers. Do you know how many generations church workers go back in your family?
Four. No, three, possibly four. My granddaughter is also considering going into church work.
That's exciting.
Okay.
So let's go back a few generations and tell us that story of the church workers in your family.
Okay, well, I think that it starts with my great-grandparents. They were immigrants from Alsace. How they got together is an interesting story, but I don't think that really applies. But they were dairy farmers and also had a stock farm. They weren't very wealthy in any sense of the term. In fact, I have a set of dominoes that my grandfather had to share with his brother as a Christmas present. So there wasn't a lot of money there, but they firmly, firmly believed in education. And they had four children. Two of the sons went to high school, and even their daughter went to high school, which at that time, yeah, there were some females that did go to high school, but not very many. But my great-grandmother insisted, and I think there were some heated discussions between the grandpa and grandma about, should we allow our daughter to get an education? But grandma won. And so the daughter also went to high school, which was pretty phenomenal. My grandfather really only wanted to be a farmer. You know, that was really his calling in life, was to be a farmer. But his two brothers went to high school, and then they both became LCMS pastors. One of them, while he was in the seminary at Springfield, laid the groundwork for founding one of the congregations in Springfield. And then he later took calls mostly to the West, to California area. The other brother became a pastor, and he spent most of his ministry in the Oklahoma area. The brother that was in California, his daughter became a Lutheran teacher. And I think she also served as a school principal for a while too, until she retired. And so that's two generations. Then there's me. And I came from the part of the family that were the farmers. My mother did go to high school and my aunt did go to high school. So that was good. But it was always instilled in me that I was going to college. I mean, even when I was little, I had a savings account and I had to put my snow shoveling money and my lawn mowing money had to go into this college account. So it was just assumed I was going to college. And so I did. I ended up going to River Forest. Well, it was called River Forest at that time. And I originally went to be a music teacher. I had two really phenomenal music tutors when I was in school. And I quickly realized I don't have the talent. Once I got to college, I thought, you know, I am not qualified. But I'd always been, since high school, I'd also been interested in doing youth work kind of stuff. So I went to the DCE program And at that time, DCE, Eberforth, DCE, and teacher went together. You got a dual certification, which, thank goodness. So I graduated, and after graduation, I did my year internship, and I realized DCE really, at that point in history, DCE really might not be my niche. Yeah. So luckily, I had the teacher certification, and so I became a teacher. And my first call out of college was I taught third and fourth grade, and I was the principal with absolutely no experience, none at all. That was not great. God saw us through that, but it was not great. And there was even a time after 4 years that I was not getting another call. And I had put applications into the public school. I said, you know, this, I can't keep doing this. I had been accepted for a position in a public school, and I got a call. And we took it. And I've been here in Decatur, Illinois for 35 years. And then I retired.
That is quite a story of church worker, Lutheran church worker legacy in your family. Does it, you mentioned your granddaughter, does it go the rest of your generations then? What about your kids, your grandkids? Are they also considering church work?
No.
Or in church work, I suppose?
No. My son is a construction management engineer, and my daughter is married to a gentleman in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. But my daughter's oldest daughter is considering becoming either maybe a deaconess or a Lutheran school teacher.
That's fantastic. Following the family legacy of Lutheran church workers. So, I mean, all of this time, church worker, being a Lutheran church worker was already in your family. But who encouraged you to be a church worker, to consider going into this vocation of being a church worker? Because going to college doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be in a church worker vocation. But right. Who encouraged you?
I would say the first person probably was my sixth grade catechism teacher. We had catechism for 3 years, sixth, seventh, and eighth, and it was the pastor's wife. And she really thought that I should become a pastor. And yeah, I really love theology, but I could not see myself as a pastor, and I still don't. And then later in high school, our pastor at that time, he was a great guy. And he really encouraged me, and he somehow got me to be a representative from our district. And for the first time, I got to fly to St. Louis to help, I guess, kind of lay some groundwork for the first LCMS youth gathering that was going to happen. That didn't happen until I was in college, but I got to be part of that group. And I met a lot of kids at St. Louis. We stayed at the seminary from all over the country. And some of them I ended up meeting again when I was at River Forest.
What was it like to get to meet other Lutheran youth or young adults, college age folks, while you were also looking at, you know, preparing to become a Lutheran educator as well? What was it like to come to St. Louis and working on laying the groundwork for the youth gathering and getting to meet all these other Lutheran young adults?
I don't really remember. I do have one memory. While we were there, it snowed. And there were kids there from California who had never seen snow. And we all went out in the quad, I guess you call it, at the seminary. And we showed them, you know, how to play in the snow. We had snowball fights. And so it was a lot of fun to be with these other kids who were obviously had some interest in church work or ministry of some sort.
We're talking with Al Bartoleben. He's a retired LCMS teacher, and we are in the Set Apart to Serve series. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our guest today, retired LCMS teacher Al Bartoleben, and he's part of our Set Apart to Serve series here on the Coffee Hour. Al, you've shared with us the multiple generations in your family who have served as church workers and also their encouragement to you to consider becoming either a pastor or another church worker of some kind serving in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And you shared with us the story of going to Concordia College and preparing to become a Lutheran educator there, looking at the director of Christian Education program. And at that time, director of Christian Education also included the teacher program, the Lutheran teacher program as well. And you mentioned through that process, facing some challenges, some trials, and finding the place that was the right fit for you. What were some of the things that you learned through those challenges and trials in finding clarity about where God would have you serve in the church?
I guess I would probably say just kind of keep exploring. You know, I started out in what I thought, what I wanted to do, and figured out, no, that's not it. So you tried something else, and okay, that seemed to fit for a while. And that was going, I thought, pretty well until I actually got out there in the field and realized, not so much. So, you know, I think it was just not being afraid to try different areas of ministry to see which one is God really calling you into. Because, you know, I had my thoughts about what I wanted to do, but obviously God had different plans. And I think it probably took a while for God to get through my thick head that this is where you're supposed to be.
What were some of the joys along the way? I mean, you mentioned being in Decatur for quite some years. What were some of the joys of teaching along the way through the years?
Oh, there were a lot. A lot. I just enjoyed being with my kids. I've taught everything between third grade and eighth grade, and finding in that whole age range that I really, really love fifth and sixth grade. Huh. That for me, it's just a blast. And well, yeah, there are some issues, of course, but they are such a fun age, and I enjoyed it. I had a lot of joy in that.
What are your favorite subjects to teach, particularly in that age range of fifth and sixth grade?
Religion and history and social studies. Those are my two areas. I love those.
What What do you recall being your favorite history or social studies lesson? What was the your favorite unit or subject in history or social studies?
Ooh.
What's the lesson plan you stayed up all night working on?
Okay, well, fifth grade was American history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I love that. And I like to tell stories. So how I taught that, yes, I had a textbook, which I used a lot all the time. But when I taught the lessons, I did other stuff. I did other research, and I would find, you know, goofy or gross stories to share with my kids to get them interested in history. I think so many times kids at that age, their social studies experience with history is so boring. They just go through the book and it's like, ugh. So I tried to make it interesting and fun for them. And then it was their responsibility then to read the textbook and, you know, get the basic facts down while I got to do the fun stuff.
Oh, yes. I remember fifth and sixth grade social studies. I actually really enjoyed fifth and sixth grade social studies because I didn't know it at the time, but I was a budding history nerd, and it was probably because of my teachers making things fun the way that it sounds like you are able to make things fun for your students. So kudos to you for that.
Well, I have had two students that one has become a history teacher and one is in the process of becoming a history teacher. So,
okay,
yeah, that's kind of cool.
It worked.
It worked.
You mentioned also that religion was one of your favorite subjects to teach. So what role did you play in helping students interact with God's word and really helping them on this journey of learning more about God's word?
Kind of the same thing as history. I tried to find interesting kinds of things to pull into the curriculum to engage them. And I would have to say one of the blessings I had of teaching in a Lutheran school is that we could live out daily the Lutheran faith. And I could apply, you know, the key doctrine there of law, gospel with these kids and show them or teach them the difference between the two, how the two of them are so crucial for us. And then to live that, you know, I had frequently, unfortunately, I would have to have what I called those come to Jesus meetings. And, you know, with the whole class or with one-on-one out in the hallway and, you know, apply the law and lead them through that process of acknowledging their sin and teaching them how to admit it, how to confess that sin with words. And then I got to share the gospel with them and say, you are forgiven, and I forgive you. And, you know, and teach them to say, when someone does something to you that's not right, you know, you don't say, oh, that's okay. You say, I forgive you. And then you move on. And, you know, I was able to say, I forgive you. And starting now, it's a new day. We're going to go forward with Jesus. That was a real blessing for me to be able to do that.
Mm. Yeah, to be able to practice forgiveness. What a wonderful gift. And to be able to practice that every day in a Lutheran classroom, a wonderful gift to students. What about encouraging students to consider church work? Did you see yourself having opportunities to encourage students to consider how they might too serve in the church?
I have. I can think of four former students who became church workers, one a pastor, the others were teachers. In fact, when I first came to Decatur, I had this fifth grade girl. She became a Lutheran teacher. She ended up moving back to Decatur, and I had her daughter as a fifth grade student. And now she has become a DC. That's kind of cool. Two generations that I think I have had somewhat of an influence on there.
Mm-hmm. What are you hopeful for the future of Lutheran church workers? I mean, you've been in this vocation for a long time now, retired, and you're seeing some of the fruits of your labor with your students in going into church work and hopefully maybe a granddaughter going into church work. What are you hopeful for the future as we're raising up the next generation of church workers?
I pray that the Lord of the harvest sends workers. You know, as a male elementary teacher, I'm seeing that we so desperately, desperately need men in the elementary levels of Lutheran education. And right now, we're not getting a lot out from the colleges, and we need that. You know, boys really desperately need to see a male figure in a school setting, just in the school setting, so that education is important for guys. But I've had so many boys that come from families that don't have a male figure in the home. And they don't learn how guys interact, how we joke and how we tease and how we interact and have fun together. It's different than girls. And they need that. They desperately need that. And then they also need to see men practicing their faith. So I really, really pray that we get male teachers. And I know we need church workers in all areas, but that's kind of my soapbox, that we need male teachers in the elementary levels.
Our guest today, Al Bartoleben, retired LCMS teacher, our guest for the Set Apart to Serve series. Al, thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I was a little nervous before. Okay, I was a lot nervous before, but it's been enjoyable. And I feel blessed that I've been able to share and hopefully encourage people to go into church work. But like I said, especially maybe men to go into elementary teaching.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.